Okay, allow me to just go on record as saying I'm the biggest idiot in the world because I just recorded this whole thing. I forgot to turn the microphone on. It's okay, it's all right. It's only radio. It's only light. Greetings. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Manuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. Of course, it's not Tuesday evening where I'm standing right now. It's actually last week sometime. And it's very warm. It's daytime. I'm standing by the side of the interstate, I-35 to be exact. And if you tuned in last week, you might recall that I said I was going to be staying at a cheap motel right on the interstate. Well, here I am in Austin, Texas, as part of the South by Southwest conference. And my logic behind that was that if I spend one-fifth the money on a place to stay, then I'll have something like, what is it, five times, four times the amount of money to spend? I'll have a lot more money to spend, theoretically, to have fun in the streets of Austin. This place, it's not so bad. You know, it's a motel. It's kind of sleazy. Water pressure is at least a lot to be desired. But it's quaint. I mean, there are hookers who hang out in the driveway. Can't get more quaint than that. I don't spend much time here. I pretty much wake up and go to town. And that's the other thing. You know, if I was staying in an expensive hotel, and I was going to the city and hanging out and not staying in the room, I'd kind of feel ripped off. So then I'd feel sort of obliged to stay in the room, and what am I doing coming to Austin to stay inside a room? So here I am standing by the interstate, I gotta say, it's been fun already. I spent a bit of time in the city, met a couple of people, both by accident and on purpose, and I'm amazed. I'm always amazed by Austin's laid-backness and the openness of the people around. For instance, people just kind of walk up to you and start conversations. And, you know, as a New Yorker, you're kind of wary when people do that. You think they're going to ask you for money, which sometimes they do. But you sort of look away and try not to engage them. Here it's a little bit different. Here people sometimes actually are curious about something. They want to know, who are you? What kind of species are you? Things like that. You know, they've never seen somebody quite like you before, or they recognize something on your shirt. For instance, I was with somebody yesterday who was wearing a 2600 shirt, and someone came up to us and said, "Hey, do you know about the 2600 meetings?" And I thought that was kind of cool, because they're guiding people to the right places. So here I am at the interstate, about to head into town. We're going to try and meet up with some off-the-wall listeners later on. There are actually quite a few of them. I was surprised. I got mail from a bunch of people here in Austin, advised me on various places to go, things to check out, and we're going to try and talk to some of them later on. And there are also a bunch of people who I know from the past who have moved here. Sorry. And I'm going to talk with them as well and catch up, see what they've been up to. One of the things I always like to do whenever I come to, well, I don't really like to do this, it's just something that happens. Whenever I come to a new city, I always tend to get lost almost immediately, and this was no exception. As soon as I got the rental car, I was stuck looking for the interstate. I wasn't able to find the interstate from the airport. How pathetic is that? And while I was driving around, I decided to do something else that I also like to do when I go to a different city, and that's scope out the FM radio band. AM radio band, too, but mostly the FM radio band. And it wasn't more than a... Whoa, that was close. It wasn't more than a couple of minutes before I discovered the station that was just simply incredible. They were playing music that was really lively and rebellious and just made me want to keep listening. But you know, the thing is, this music also contained forbidden language. And we all know what the forbidden language is, the stuff you can't say on the air. But these guys didn't seem to care. I mean, we have a safe harbor from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. where you can air indecent speech, and that includes some of those words, as long as it's not used in an obscene manner. What these guys were doing is, it was something like 9 o'clock, and they were flagrantly playing music with all sorts of bad words, and then they got on microphone to announce the songs, and they said the same words in real, live, microphone life. And, wow, I was really blown away by that. These guys, I didn't know what the hell they were doing, but they were really full of rebellion. And then they announced that they were getting drunk on the air, so I figured, yeah, these guys really, they don't give much of a crap for FCC regulations at all. They were just going for broke, I guess, is the best way to say it, which would be true if the FCC ever caught up to them and fined them. And then on top of that, they announced themselves as KPWR, which I later found out is actually a radio station in Los Angeles. I think they play rap music. So this obviously was not a legitimate radio station, and I put that in quotes, in case you couldn't see me. And what that means is I found the pirate radio station immediately upon entering Austin, and boy, I've been glued to the dial ever since. These guys are amazing. They play all kinds of cool music that you can't hear on the radio normally, and there really is an awful lot of it. You don't realize until you listen to something like this how much music you miss out on because somebody deems the words objectionable. But it's positively uplifting. I know back in New York, we sometimes kind of get cynical as far as when we're trying to fix a situation or complaining about something or just talking about injustice in the world. If you listen, you'll hear what sounds like a defeatist attitude many times because I guess we do it so often. We do it so much. And here, it's a bunch of kids who are just really into what they're doing. They're having fun. And they're saying, screw the system. Let's do something else. These laws are stupid, we're not hurting anybody, we're engaging in free speech, and we're getting the message out. And believe me, they really are getting the message out. I've been listening to these guys driving all over Austin, and it's been inspirational, and I hope to be able to bring some of that back to New York. They are affiliated with the Austin Indie Media Center, and they really seem to have their heads on straight as far as how to do radio, what radio is all about, what we have forgotten. Because both in the commercial and non-commercial sectors of the radio dial, I think we've fallen into predictability. And these guys are anything but predictable. So in addition to tracking down some off-the-wall listeners later on, I'm hoping that I can somehow do what the FCC either hasn't done or doesn't want to do, find these guys and visit their studios, talk to them, see what they're all about, and hopefully, you know, share some radio stories. What I'd like to do now, before I get off this interstate, which is kind of dangerous, actually, is leave you with some recordings that I'm going to get from this pirate radio station in Austin. So I'm going to pick out something on the radio, and you'll get to hear just what it is that I'm listening to. Of course, I won't be able to air those forbidden words. You'll just have to imagine those. So I call on everybody right now to imagine all the indecent words you possibly can, and take a listen to this pirate radio station. And we'll be back from another part of Austin right after this. Okay, we're here in the Flight Path Cafe. Did I get that right?
Yeah. Right.
We're in the Flight Path Cafe. I'm meeting up with a bunch of listeners and 2600 meeting attendees, starting with Art.
Hi.
How you doing? You're an off-the-wall listener?
Yes, sir. I am an off-the-wall listener. A couple of years now.
And you're from the Austin area?
I'm originally from El Paso, but I've been staying in the Austin area for a while now.
Cool. We've got Mark here, who also lives in the Austin area and is a dedicated listener to the radio show.
Dedicated, yeah.
Well, not only that, but you also run our forum, our Hope Forum, and done some other 26 Center related things as well. So it's cool to meet up here. John?
Yeah.
And you're also an Off the Wall listener?
Yes, I am. Been a couple of years here.
Cool. And we have Sean and Jacob, who are not Off the Wall listeners,
but
are 2600 meeting attendees.
More or less, yeah.
Okay, cool. So anything you guys want to say to the listeners back home in Long Island, where I come from?
Hi.
Well, I guess, you know, we could maybe discuss the program a little bit since you guys listen. Actually, a few of you showed up because of the show, right?
Yes, I did.
People emailed and said, hey, let's meet up in Austin, and someone suggested this place. This isn't actually the site of the official 2600 meetings. There are
so many
cafes here in Austin that there's not enough days in the month to go to all of them, so we have to have a whole different one for the meetings in here.
Basically, yeah.
And that one is called the Spider House?
Spider House.
Okay. Now, this one is the flight path. Why don't we go to the Spider House where the meetings are? Why do we come here on other Fridays?
A little crowded, generally.
So we're going to the less popular one now.
Yeah, basically.
No, there's another group that typically meets here every Friday, and we just kind of hang out and geek out, that kind of stuff. But the actual first Friday is the actual kind of time.
Okay. So you say geek out, everybody here has a laptop open.
Yeah.
So it's no exaggeration there. And Wi-Fi, it's Wi-Fi everywhere in this town.
Yeah, it's nutty.
You can just walk into a place and just sit down, open your laptop up, and you're online.
Yeah. Don't they have wireless downtown?
I think Verizon won the bid for it. I'm not sure who provides it, but there's several
networks.
Yeah, but I mean, around Austin, there's so many unsecured networks. I mean, you can just go anywhere and pick it up.
I think that's still just in the downtown core, and that's about it.
Yeah.
I believe that's the sound of espresso being made, or is that a shake
espresso.
Of something? Okay. You can tell we're not making this up. We're really in a cafe and sort of making all those noises that prevent us from being heard. So, Art, you're from El Paso. Now, you were telling me before that El Paso doesn't seem like Texas. And if anything, I would say Austin doesn't seem like Texas. But you think Austin is more like Texas than El Paso. Why?
Much more. Well, first of all, in El Paso, not very many people speak English compared to all the other towns in Texas. So it's more of a Mexican colony, as I said earlier. But I lived there for about 17 years until I left home for college, and it was very different. I thought I was a Texan until I came here and realized that I was just now becoming one. So
I've been to El Paso, I think, once, and I noticed that to a degree. I guess it's gotten more Mexican now than it was years ago.
Yeah. Well, it's always been that way, really. But I think a lot of the border towns, like Eagle Pass and Laredo and so forth, are the same way, more Mexican than anything else.
Mm-hmm. How do most people see that around here?
I don't think they care.
Really? Because the way it's portrayed is like some kind of battle, keeping, you know, people out from another country and building walls and fences and things.
There's nothing that's going to happen that's going to keep anybody out. I mean, the more barriers you put in, it's just the more you're going to endanger other people's lives. If they don't get through the state of Texas, they will go through Arizona. And a lot of the illegal workers that I've met, they tell me that if they didn't get through one of the bordering towns in Texas, they walk through the desert, and I think that's a whole lot worse. So they're still going to get in. It's just whether or not you want to risk their lives.
So is that the biggest issue facing people in Texas now?
Not really. It just seems that way as far as on CNN and all the media.
It flares up every now and then.
In what way is it flare up?
Just becomes the news and then dies off and becomes news again and dies off.
So you guys are all from Austin originally, or did you move here from someplace else?
I'm from Texarkana, but I immigrated.
Texarkana?
Yeah.
Is that the one that's like by Texas and Arkansas or something?
Yeah.
It's a wacky name.
I'm sure you've driven through it before. Everybody's driven through it.
I've never been to Arkansas. That's one of two states I have never been to. The other is Hawaii.
It's pretty sick.
Yeah. So, okay, so Texarkana is part of Texas, right?
The Texas side of it, yes.
Oh, it's divided in two, how quaint.
Yeah.
Okay. And John, where are you from?
Well, I've lived in Austin for 23 years. I was actually born
my dad was in the military, so I was born in the Philippines.
Oh.
Lived in Georgia, also in Las Vegas, Nevada. But I lived here most of my life since I was about 5 years old. And yeah, Austin is just not like most of Texas. It's the only tolerable big city, really, in Texas.
Austin's the only tolerable big city in Texas.
Yeah, in my opinion. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why is
and
that?
In a lot of people's opinion. You have a lot. You have people with open minds here.
Mm-hmm.
People are much more willing to accept different viewpoints here in Austin than you would find like in you know, Dallas or Houston or even San Antonio.
Well, how did that happen exactly?
I think a bunch of hippies walked here at one point.
So hippies are the answer.
Well, University of Texas, you have a lot of college students. Austin is a huge college town.
Mm-hmm.
UT is one of, if not the biggest university in the U.S. You just have a lot of different weird influences here. And it's just the way it's been since probably like the 60s or 70s.
It's the bluest dot in the reddest state.
Yeah.
Nice, I like that. You coined that yourself?
No.
That's good. Jacob, where are you from?
I was born in Houston, but I moved here when I was small. So.
When you were how old?
When I was 1 year old.
1 year old, okay.
So I lived here.
Didn't like Houston then?
No.
Got out of there quickly.
Yeah, I don't like Houston.
So. You hear that a lot, people wanting to get out of Texas?
No. No, not at all, actually. Seeing people want to get out of Houston. The times I've gone to Houston was horrible. One of the times I took my girlfriend to the art museum down there, and we went to go eat some Italian food afterwards in the parking lot. Said, parking attendee is not responsible for your safety. Please beware of night people and criminals. Yeah, that's what it said, night people. I guess it's talking about the bombs. Or
night people?
Yeah, I'm thinking, I think it was referring to bombs and just wandering individuals.
I've never heard the phrase night people before.
Neither had
like
I.
A science fiction story.
I'm a night person.
Yeah, we're all night people. We're always out at night.
So maybe they're afraid of you.
All right, so Houston sucks. I think we can all agree Houston sucks. So do you guys listen to radio at all, like other radio?
No.
Because I've been tracking a station since I got here.
They suck.
Wait, you don't know which one I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. Well, 90.5 is decent.
You listen to what?
KBRX.
That's a commercial station? Or?
That's the UT station.
Okay. Yeah. Have you guys ever heard of a station called KPWR? It's a pirate station coming from somewhere in Austin. You know about this.
91.1? 91.1. Yeah, there's also 91.7, which is chaos.
Well, this 91.1, I've been listening to this since I got here, and it's like, it's amazing. It's the most amazing radio I've heard in years.
Yeah, yeah.
How did they manage to stay on the air?
Because the...
Is it the Free Radio Austin?
Who's in charge of the FCC offices, or in, like, Dallas?
Uh-huh.
And they don't come down very often?
That's the reason?
Well, it's a hassle for them.
5 years ago.
Well, there's a really popular station called Free Radio Austin that operated several years back, and they went for years on the air before the FCC finally came down, took their transmitter mast down, and
mm-hmm.
they raided them without a warrant.
Yeah, there's a big story on that.
But didn't they transmit from the studio sites?
Yeah.
That's always a mistake.
Yeah.
I think I think the more modern ones don't.
Now that we have MP3 streams, you just kind of separate it.
Right. It seems like the transmitter is right in the middle of downtown, like, you know,
it's
the most populated
close.
Area.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, that area of Austin, you know, there's a lot of different places to put stuff. And
mm-hmm.
Kind of hilly going through downtown, so you have a lot of high points to set that kind of stuff up.
Yeah. Oh, it's just amazing something like that could survive for so long, and they give out phone numbers and stuff, and
yeah.
It seems like they're not afraid.
Yeah, it's it's interesting.
And they're not even trying to live by FCC rules at all. I mean, if you listen to what they play and what they say on the air, and
yeah.
I'm looking at their website now, and there's actually an apology on there because they accidentally played an edited song that didn't have the obscenities that they were expecting to play. And they were very disappointed to actually hear bleeps instead of the actual words. So it's like being in a different universe here. It really is.
I'm here with Guy, who some of you who have been paying attention will recognize as the guy, no pun intended, who did the camera work for Freedom Downtime. Guy now lives here in Austin. Say hello, Guy.
Hello.
You're normally a lot more talkative than that, though.
Yeah, no, I wasn't expecting this interview.
You weren't expecting me to suddenly start talking in my radio voice.
Yeah,
my normal voice sounds...
Well,
my normal voice sounds completely different than my radio voice. For those of you who don't know me in person, my voice is actually, like, what would you describe it as? Squeaky, I think is the way some people say it. Or kind of shrill.
I've never really thought about it.
Yeah, most people try not to.
I think maybe you think about it
all the time. So, Guy, what brought you down here to Austin? I mean, you used to be a New Yorker.
Well, guns, more freedom, and...
guns brought you down here? You mean you were forced to come down?
Well, I was forced to come down. New York has become a much more of a police state than it's ever been before.
So men at gunpoint forced you to come to Austin?
No. You're the one who used the word force in the first place.
Well, you said guns brought you down.
Yeah.
That's what I got the force out of that.
No, man. I came here.
Can't say that on the radio.
I was attracted to Austin and Texas for guns.
The guns brought you here. I mean, you were attracted by the guns.
Yes.
Okay. I think I understand. But why Austin?
Because we had come through here about 8 years ago, 9 years ago, and doing the Freedom Downtime documentary, and this place has always stuck in my mind. And like I told you earlier, I had 3 days off. It was an incredible time to just walk around, get to know the city, and really enjoy the beauty of the scenery and everything like that.
Are you saying that it was our trip while filming Freedom Downtime to Austin that made you decide to settle in this city?
I would have never thought of Austin if it wasn't for Freedom Downtime. Just like I told you earlier, I would never have moved here if it wasn't for Freedom Downtime. And Freedom Downtime was an incredibly eye-opening experience for me. Traveled the entire nation, you know, in about a span of 3 months, I think it was.
We went back and forth across the country and somehow didn't kill each other.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
We wanted to. We really wanted to. We just didn't have the weaponry.
I had some of the weaponry.
You did?
I mean, come on.
Wow. I'm impressed that you were able to hold back.
Jeez. All right, let's see here. It was an incredibly eye-opening trip. It was, I've been all over the U.S. before, but never on my own. It wasn't on my own. Of course, you were there and Piggy Face or whatever.
Pork Chop. Piggy Face.
He was there as well. And then Brian.
Brian, yes.
Brian for a short period. But, you know, it's so different to go on your own without your parents across the U.S. at such a young age and really opened my eyes to a lot of things. And it opened my eyes to Austin.
I guess, in a way, you have Kevin Mitnick to thank for living here now.
Yeah, actually. Thanks, Kevin.
Well, we could take it a step further and say, the federal government, by imprisoning Kevin and holding him for 5 years, helped to change your life by turning you on to us. You don't want to give them the credit?
I don't want to give them credit for anything because, you see, whether, you know, the circumstances were bad or good, I'm still down here, and that's a good thing. So, you know, I don't care what it was that brought me down here. It's very nice that, 2600 and the movie had so much to do with it. It's a nice thought, but, you know, bringing it down by putting, like, you know, such evil things as the federal government into it seems out of place.
Well said. Well, it certainly wasn't a memorable trip. I mean, it was almost 10 years ago now that you and I and Porkchop and Brian traversed various parts of the country.
I remember it very well.
Yeah, and the film has been well received. I assume you've seen it a few times?
Yes, I've seen it a couple times. A few different versions.
Of course, never want to do it again because it took a lot out of us.
I would definitely do it again.
Yeah.
If I ever had the opportunity to take a trip like that, I would definitely do it again.
The trip is one thing. The trip, but all the filming.
For you, it was a financial burden. You put all the money into it and everything. For me, I had nothing to do except, you know, do camera work, do some interviewing, sound. Incredible experience. Not much investment on my part. It was mostly on your part. So the stress that it has caused you is much greater, and it has not caused me any stress. I have only good things to reflect on. So I would have to say, for what I put into the movie, I would definitely do it again.
I'm told it probably has taken about maybe 3 or 4 years off of my life, which I think is a good price to pay for a movie like this.
How is the movie done? I mean, has it sold well enough?
We have it on the website.
Has it paid back the money that you've accrued in the? I don't know. I
don't know. It's a good question. We don't. If we were a decent business,
balanced it out. The whole movie pay for itself?
We would keep track of things like that if we were like a real business that knew how much we were getting back for every issue sold.
And here's something that separates you from the regular media. It's the passion. It's passion for a belief. It's passion for something that you feel very strongly about that most people don't feel strongly about. Most people don't care about. So you take your talents that you could be using for something that would be much more profitable, like working for CNN or Fox News or anything like that, and you put it into something you believe and spreading the word about, a serious crime that has been committed against a human just for wanting to learn, and you spread the word. Unfortunately, it's only for the most part, it's fallen upon mostly just the hacker, 2600 group. But if they would just show it to more people, make copies of it. I know you don't give a fuck about people making copies of DVDs.
Just want to get the word out.
Yeah, so, just like Alex Jones, and I have to say, please check out Alex Jones, Infowars.com. It's a very, very important site. You learn a lot from it. He does. He's very grassroots himself. He's very passionate, and he could be doing other things with his energy, and you could be doing other things with your energy. But you focus on what's important to you, and it's not just important to you. It's an important issue for everybody. But people are too f***ing stupid to listen. And that's just the way it is.
It's good to hear that. It's good to hear that it matters to people. It's good to see how even our trip was able to change your life in a positive way. Feel better being out of New York?
Absolutely. New York is completely turned into a police state. I mean, it's much worse than I ever grew up in there. Basically people asking you to open your bags in subway stations. They've completely, peeled away these idiots' rights, and they continue to live in New York. I say move south, get some fucking guns, and get ready for whatever the f*** is going to come down.
Any prediction on what that might be?
What's that?
Any prediction on what that might be?
The military turning against us, martial law being declared, and, just basically the army running the streets, and, we have such a huge military force, and, control is what the government wants. And they inch away at it. So, I imagine they would use the army against us. And we need guns, and we need to defend ourselves with them. And the easiest place to get guns, so you can... I mean, it's already too late for you now, unless you move to a place like Texas. You can get your guns and get prepared. And you can also protect yourself from just petty criminals, people just trying to rob you. I mean, you can. It's so much easier to not get raped if you shoot the f***er before he gets to you. I mean, it's just a smart move to have more freedom. Why would you let the police into your lives as much as they are? If you're going to run and hide from them, you might as well hide from them when they're laxer than the way they are in New York City.
So now, what are the basic differences between the laws here and the laws in New York?
The major differences here are self-defense laws, carrying weapons. You know, I mean, you can actually carry a decent pocket knife here. You can carry a gun here. You need to get a license, unfortunately, but you know, at least you can do it.
So, in case anyone's wondering, what all this noise? What is all this noise? What are all these people doing here anyway?
This is Sixth Street.
Sixth Street.
It's a courting ritual.
And this is my friend Jeff, by the way.
Jeff.
They're inebriating themselves so that they can lower their inhibitions a little bit, so that potentially they could pair off and mate with each other, essentially.
It's all about reproduction, right?
I think so, yeah.
Interesting. Well, it's fascinating watching this. We're sort of safe here on a literally a bar on the street. I mean, we're leaning against a bar, which is also in a bar. And it's just people walking back and forth aimlessly with all sorts of food and drink in their hands, all kinds of music being played. It's part of the South by Southwest event, which takes place every year this time for about 3 weeks, I guess. But it really hasn't started yet as far as the music part, which I guess would be mostly on 6th Street, right?
Yeah, I think predominantly, but there are a number of bars that are around this area that aren't quite on the street, though.
Uh-huh. Is it like this pretty much every weekend?
Yeah, this is an average Friday night. Maybe a little bit above average, but pretty much, yeah.
They close off the street to cars and people just walking around.
Particularly when school's in session. Now, if we were in a student break or like the summer vacation or something, no, but yes, like during the school year.
Well, it's interesting you say that because spring break began today.
Yeah, well, except for spring break because of South by Southwest happens to be scheduled each year during spring break. So I think a lot of students stick around for that reason. A lot of students will leave to get out of town, but I think the ones interested in the music scene here tend to stick around.
And you're interested in the music scene here?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of good bands that will play here every year. I mean, there's so many bands that are playing here every night. It's hard for there not to be something good playing. That said, you know, it gets to be expensive going out to shows all the time, so you got to really pick and choose, unless you're just made of money, you know.
Yeah, I noticed that with South by Southwest. To get a pass to everything is simply phenomenal. And I guess if you go from bar to bar looking at all the different bands, you have to pay a cover charge for everyone you go into, so it does add up pretty quickly.
Yeah, well, they have like a wristband, particularly for locals, that's not too expensive. It's like $120 or $160 if you get it early enough, which will get you into all the shows. Or if it doesn't, like, if it isn't packed, you can actually pay $20 to get, or like $20-$25 to get in a particular show if it's not sold out already. But like wristbands and like and the festival, South by Southwest festival pass holders get the priority.
Until the venue fills up, I guess.
Yeah, the bar we're at right now, coincidentally, is the, I moved here 2 years ago, almost to the week, and this is where I saw my first show here in Austin at South by Southwest, coincidentally. So
this particular bar?
This particular bar.
What's this particular bar called?
The Ritz on 6th.
The
gonna
Ritz
be happy
on 6th.
About the product placement. I don't work for them. I could give a less.
I don't work for them either. None of us work for them. However, we are saying that we are standing outside the Ritz on 6th.
Well, it's next to Hoax Pizza, which is like the heavy metal, the death metal pizza place. It's,
you know, I was wondering about that because we bought pizza from this guy. And, oh, thank you. Well, you got me beer in a glass. Thank you so much. That's very, very stylish. No, we just got pizza in this pizza place, and the guy was yelling at us like it was a heavy metal show. What was that all about?
Well, it's because the heavy metal was like playing so loud around him. I think he might have just had to yell to sort of compensate. He's probably lost enough of his hearing that he doesn't.
He looked like he was a heavy metal artist.
Yeah, he might have. It was probably his day job. You know, I don't know if death metal sells too well right now. I don't know. It could. I'm sure there's pockets of resistance, of death metal resistance out there. I'm not part of it, but like I know that there's probably those guys are. You know.
So death metal pizza and beer here on the sidewalk, mobs of people walking by, loud music everywhere, drunken, abandoned, and a whole lot of college kids. Austin's a pretty interesting place, I gotta say.
The cute girl I was talking to earlier left, that sucks.
Oh, I'm sorry, did I screw that up?
No, it's okay. She was already leaving,
We can get her back, you know, if you flash a microphone, people tend to show respect.
Where are you, babe? yeah, I give up on her. she was too drunk for me anyway.
So, Jeff, where are you from? Are you from Austin originally?
No. I moved around a lot before I ended up in Iowa, before I moved to Austin. I went to the University of Iowa. That's where I studied art.
So the only thing I know about Iowa is that all the counties line up, and it looks like a whole bunch of little squares all next to each other. You ever see a map of Iowa counties?
Yeah, I think I have. Yeah, it is kind of a rectangular state, so I guess that's probably a fair assessment.
You say the people are rectangular as well?
They're more like, I think there's a lot of squares there, sure, but there's some redeeming values. People tend to be pretty good natured there. I don't know. It seems like all the young people leave Iowa as soon as they can, though. There's the brain drain effect, is what they say.
Well, what would draw somebody to Iowa?
Not much right now. Right now, if you were in the insurance...
Des Moines, Iowa City.
Yeah. If you...
I just told you everything I know about Iowa.
Iowa City has a good university, so University of Iowa, where I went to school. Iowa State University is a pretty good school in Ames, which is just north of Des Moines. And Des Moines is like a... It's kind of a medium-sized city. It's the capital of Iowa now. Iowa City used to be the capital. I don't know. Actually, the last house I lived in Iowa City was hit by a tornado like less than a year after I left. My roommates still lived there at the time, but luckily they were all in the basement, and it was only like the third floor of this place that got ripped off of it. So
yet another attraction for Iowa there.
Yeah. Yeah,
we're going to get letters because we do have listeners in Iowa. We're not trying to tear down the state. But if you know what the attraction is in Iowa, please tell us because we want to send people there.
Well, see, I actually have a good friend who still lives there. I have a few friends that still live there, honestly. But one good friend is trying to open up this particular entertainment complex. So that's all I'm going to say. But in Des Moines, to try to make it more of a place, more of an attractive destination for people. He's trying to encourage cultural growth there. So, like, but he needs a bunch of money. So if you have a bunch of money to invest, give me a call. We need about $5 million.
$5 million. That'll get Iowa culturally current.
That will get our foot in the door. That will get the business rolling.
Well, we're going to get letters from Iowa. That's for damn sure. Well, Jeff Guy, it's been fun. Standing here on 6th Street in Austin with everybody going nuts around us.
It's pretty normal.
It is a normal night from what I hear, but we should go nuts as well, and for that we'll have to turn off the microphone. So I'll appear again.
We can always resume later.
We can resume later.
You can do a chop job, edit job. I would prefer it.
I'm sure I'll show up from someplace else in the streets of Austin. This is Emmanuel speaking to you from somewhere else in the streets of Austin. And this is really kind of unusual. It's a driving rainstorm on a Sunday night here. I actually was able to find somebody who can show me the radio station I've been listening to all this time. That's coming from a mysterious location someplace. It's kind of weird how it happened, too. I was at one of many parties that get thrown during South by Southwest here in Austin. And I just happened to be mentioning to some friendly-looking people that I discovered this amazing radio station that seems to be broadcasting without a license, and I'd sure like to see it. And it turns out I was speaking to one of the organizers when I said that. And so he arranged for me to drive down some mysterious streets, apparently in a driving rainstorm, with lightning, too. It's just a big flash of lightning. And meet up with the people or go to the place. In fact, somebody else who was really drunk gave me the combination to the lock that goes into the studio building. I got to say, I feel pretty privileged to have that information. So what I'm doing now is I'm driving over there at great personal risk and flash flooding everything. It's amazing. I asked somebody yesterday, how long has it been since it rained here? And they told me months. So this really is a special occasion, isn't it? I'm going to resume when I actually stop the car and track down the location and hopefully we'll be inside the station.
I'm gonna let them get off the air or get.
They're on the air right now. I can hear voices, animated voices behind the door. And we're in the studios of KPWR. The original KPWR, not the imitators in Los Angeles.
Exactly.
So PWR stands for People Will Radio.
Kind of in the, the Field of Dreams sort of way. If you build it, they will come. If you build it, they will radio.
Oh, I came. Howdy. How's it going?
Good.
I'm from Off the Wall, a radio show in Stony Brook, New York.
Oh, cool.
And ever since I turned on the radio coming here, I've been blown away by you guys.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so that's thing on the dial.
Thanks.
So I'm hoping I can bring something back to inspire people back in New York to,
Only good thing on the
dial. It is, isn't it? I mean, you guys got spirit. So you're actually using a turntable. That's cool.
Yeah, we try to play at least, maybe about a third of our stuff for show off the turntable.
Do you guys want to identify yourselves, or just, whatever name you want to use,
Sure, I'm DJ.
Okay, and you're?
I am DJ Safety.
DJ Safety? And you're?
Kanga.
Okay. How long has this place been here?
We've had the studio since February of last year, so KPWR just officially turned 1 year old.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Now, the station officially is a webcast, correct?
Yeah, this is a web-based radio project here.
So if other people go out and rebroadcast you over FM frequencies, that's got nothing to do with this particular radio station.
That's correct. And people are welcome to do whatever they want with our signal. We can really control it anyway. But yeah, we broadcast 24 hours a day at www.kpwr.org.
And what kind of reaction have you gotten from listeners?
It's been really, really positive. People are really excited about doing shows, about being involved with the project, about learning about all the equipment. There's a lot of computer stuff involved. We're using Drupal and Linux and freeware and doing all of that as well. So.
And have you had any kind of threats from anybody?
No, everything's been quiet and everything's been really positive.
What's typical sampling of the programming you have in a week? What are you guys doing right now? What's the name?
Our show is sort of kind of high-spirited rock and roll in general. A lot of punk, power pop, garage and stuff. We throw in some soul and just kind of random things every week.
It must be nice to be able to play music without having to worry about the words.
Yeah, it really is. I worked for a college radio station a long time ago, and it was really a pain having to listen to every single song before I would play it on the air. Just to make sure it didn't swear, so it's a lot easier.
And I've heard some DJs actually using those words themselves too, which at times works and at times doesn't work. But it must be nice not to have the tension always worrying about slipping.
It's nice for us to be free to make our own mistakes.
That's a good slogan. You should.
Yeah.
And the guideline is creative obscenity and inappropriateness encouraged, while mindless swearing is discouraged.
Very nice. It's a magic marker sign on the wall that has all the guidelines, which is more than a lot of radio stations have. Do this and be here because you love it and you're having fun. Teach and learn. Show others how to, and don't be afraid to ask. No illegal drugs in the studio or on the property of the place where we are at. Have you gotten much attention from outside Austin?
We actually have, had people email us. We've got some regular listeners in Canada. We've had folks from around Texas email us with PSAs for stuff that's going on. So, yeah, people are listening and tuning in Austin and around the world. So,
I noticed you guys air Democracy Now.
We do. We air Democracy Now from 2 to 3 every weekday.
Are you the only station in Austin airing that?
No. Another station, KADI, airs it every day as well.
Are there other stations like this radio station in other cities that you know of?
There are some in other cities. There's certainly Chaos, which you can get at chaos959.com.
That's in Austin?
The web is in Austin as well.
Okay. Do you think you get more people listening on the frequency that people set up or on the web? Or is it impossible to tell?
We can track the listeners on the web, so for sure we know what's going on there, whereas anything else, we don't really have the means to track that. We do have a phone in the studio. People call in. We talk to folks who are listening, so...
Well, the first thing,
a lot of good feedback from that.
The first thing I always do whenever I come to a city is just scope out the radio stations. And you guys just sort of stuck out like a sore thumb, so I immediately set the dial. In fact, when I return the rental car, I'm going to set all six positions to that frequency. And I imagine you get a lot of accidental listeners that way, whereas on the web you have to sort of know what you're looking for.
Sure, yeah. I mean, the website. We try to talk about the website as much as possible and talk about where we're streaming in from, the web radio. And mm-hmm. But, yeah, you certainly have to be looking for something to listen to on the Internet.
Has anyone ever called to complain? It might be a minister driving with his son or something, or it's something inappropriate, and confuses this place with what's actually broadcasting on the FM?
The only complaint I can remember was from someone who didn't like the band Split Lip Rayfield. And they called, and someone was doing a whole show of theirs. They were playing in Austin. I think you know about their band's health problems and all of that. And so it's kind of a big deal the last time they are going to play here, or we're going to play here. And so there's a whole set for them, and someone called and complained about that. But that's the only one I can think of.
So now, I've heard all kinds of interesting music over the past few days. Do you guys bring your own music? Is it on computer? Is there a library?
There is a library. There's a library of over 70,000 songs on the computer. And then, yeah, DJs bring their own music. It's a mix of vinyl, of CDs, of tapes. We are still running a tape deck. And digital MP3s or whatever. People can plug in their laptop or their iPod or whatever they need to play their music.
It's a real mix of old and new here. I'm seeing turntables, which I haven't seen in quite a while. I'm seeing CD players, computers. It's all working, right? How do you guys maintain this stuff? We could probably use some tips on that.
How do we maintain the equipment?
Yeah, because it's all... it's not the most polished-looking stuff. It doesn't look like it, you know, is Hot 97 or something, but it's working, and it's getting the sound out into the listener. That's all that matters.
Really, I mean, in order to have an effective radio station, the equipment needed is not all that elaborate. You know, you just need a few things to kind of put together. That's what's so interesting about it is a medium. Mm-hmm. It's just you don't really need all that much equipment. As far as maintaining it, I'm not really so much on that end of it.
And I spray it with cans of air periodically.
Dust wiping and spraying. Okay, well, I'm taking notes here. And how do you get the equipment? Is it donated?
We've raised money through benefits. A lot of this equipment was initially donated from Chaos, from the other radio station here in town, initially, and we have replaced most of that with stuff that works better and fits our format better. Throwing benefits, having bands play, having DJ showcases, that sort of thing, to raise money. The programmers pay between $5 and $20 a month to have a show. Mm-hmm. Those go to our rent for the space.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
How many people are on the station? How many are affiliated?
We have 52 programmers right now. I would say about 20-plus of those are doing regular shows.
So are there people here all the time, 24 hours a day? Do you go on tape sometimes, or maybe a satellite broadcast?
We go to DJ Robotica, as we like to call her, which is the 70,000 songs in the computer on random.
And does DJ Robotica announce the songs?
No, and she is not the best DJ. Lately, she's been real, real picky.
Interesting. What are some of the more popular shows, if you even measure it in those terms?
I don't know if I do. Through the Twilight Portal is an all-vinyl metal show. I don't know if it's popular. I like it. There's a mix of talk. Some people just get on here and talk and rant for hours.
Yeah, I've heard some of that. I've heard punk, folk, and all sorts. I heard the radio. In fact, we were playing it on this show. The radio station chant with the clapping of hands. That was great. Very very easy to make, cheap promo, but effective.
Exactly. Yeah. No, we definitely have made some PSAs, and hopefully we'll make some more.
Uh-huh.
We've got a community audio editing computer in the foyer,
mm-hmm.
which needs a little bit of tweaking, but soon any DJ or anyone can come in and make a PSA for the show or for the station or whatever, pretty easily using Audacity.
Anything on the origins, like when did it start? Whose idea was it?
It just fell into our laps. It wasn't anybody's idea. It was just like one day all the stuff was in the right place and it just happened.
Any words of advice for people in other parts of the country who think that this sort of thing is impossible?
I think CJ said it best. It's not very hard. You don't need a lot of stuff, and setup cost really isn't that much. You can scrounge everything you need probably off of Craigslist. So.
But, I mean, there is some skill involved because you guys have a sound, like a really alive sound, like rebellious, and that's what attracted me to it to start with. So how do you get those people and not people who would, say, tear it apart and get all kinds of infighting? Because I see a lot of that in New York. And I like to find a way that that doesn't typify the kind of thing that goes on the air.
Part of that, I think, and this is also a problem we have, is we're working on a vouch system for DJs. You have to know someone who's had a show for a month and proves responsible, and they can vouch you in and bring you in the studio and orient you and give you a show. And then once you've been here for a month and proven yourself, you can do that to someone else. So we're growing a little bit slower than I'd actually like to be, but we're not having that problem of letting, like, any Yahoo have a show whose politics might not line up with the station's mission statement or any of that. So it's a little bit slower, and we're working on integrating, like, people nobody knows into the studio so it can really be a community project. But, like, that's sort of what's setting the foundation, is just, like, getting people who want to be invested and want to take care of the space and want to do this.
Am I keeping you guys from doing a rap on the air?
Oh, no.
We'd love to hear a rap. we'll broadcast it over our station, too. Anything you guys want to add as far as...
I can't really think of anything.
You're a radio guy. You've got to always be ready to say something.
Oh,
segue's coming up.
Viva La Rock. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think it's ready. Oh, hey, taking the city by storm. We were just listening to... What was that, CJ? Well, that was The Dictators with The Next Big Thing. All right, before that we heard The Stooges. We heard... I don't know, what else do we hear? DMZ, Big Boys, Crisis, all sorts of great punk rock hits for you. What do we have next, CJ? Well, if I can get this to work correctly, then we're definitely going to be listening to The Goblins with La 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 London. All right, I like that one. I do too. Play it.
So what are some of the technical problems you guys have? Are microphones left on, or...
This CD player is really picky.
CD player?
I've
never seen a CD player like that.
It's weird. I that one tends to...
What is that, from East Germany or something? It's really...
Yeah.
The buttons are so big.
Well, this is a CD player, and I love this thing.
That one's awesome.
Where do you find these things? It's got a little touch tone pad on the top.
You can, in fact, scratch your CDs with this.
Oh, that's awesome.
Or the equivalent.
Yeah, I've really done that to my punk songs. I can do some punk rock scratching.
Yeah, no, I don't mess with it. It's got a lot of functions, but I don't know how to work.
Yeah. But it plays good.
Any trouble with the internet streaming? You guys go down a lot, or?
Yes. Yeah. The trouble, I think, is with Ubuntu mixed with the VLC, which is the freeware program. I think they're not debugged properly for each other. But I'm not sure, because I don't know the specifics of it. But yeah, we have a fair bit of trouble lately with the stream going down. And it originating from the studio, with the stream not playing anything, as opposed to the stream not being down. It may still be streaming, streaming nothing.
I see.
So, but we're hoping to not have to go back to Windows. Hopefully we're hoping to figure out what the problem is and find another player or something that works better than Ubuntu.
When did you migrate from Windows?
Oh, it's been like 4 months, so...
Nice.
Yeah.
As far as equipment overall and the way the station kind of runs and stays on the air, I mean, it's been nothing but improvement since we started here. It's just kind of been... It keeps getting better and better.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine it will into the future.
Like a year ago, what didn't you have that you have now?
They didn't have me a year ago.
Okay, that's something.
We didn't have CD players that consistently worked. We had 2 turntables, one that wasn't grounded properly. We had a soundboard that was designed for audio recording in a studio, like this enormous old soundboard with all these buttons that didn't make any sense. So, it's definitely come a long way in a year.
Is there anything you guys need or want that maybe our listeners can help with? We have about 6 million listeners. They're all very wealthy.
That should be one of those questions that I don't have. I don't even have a really, really great computer that's fast.
Well, what do you have now?
Right now we have computers that are built from spare parts. We have a really great DJ Colonel Panic builds our computers and does a great, great job. But they are what they are, and they're not great computers.
Do you have any idea what your operating budget is for, say, a year?
we do have someone who keeps the books, as the case may be, mm-hmm. but I don't know what those numbers are. I would guess it's just a couple $100 a month, though.
Amazing. And whoever is actually running the transmitter part of this operation, I imagine that's not expensive either, from what I understand about micro-broadcasting. For like $100, you can get a transmitter that you stick on a building somewhere and the whole city can hear it.
Yep. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, guys, it's very inspiring what you're doing here.
Great.
And hopefully more people will start doing it because... Well, you guys want to rant about what the commercial radio band is like these days, or?
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's why I do this show. You're not going to hear this on any radio station in Austin, or I don't know. I'm sure there are other radio stations where you can hear, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of punk stuff, but
not this attitude.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And not the creative obscenities either. So.
All right, People Will Radio. I hope you keep going for many years to come and grow and prosper and inspire others.
Awesome. I hope we do, too.
And that's going to do it for us this week. You can write to People Will Radio at kpwr@riseup.net. And you can write to us at otw@2600.com. This is Emmanuel Goldstein for Off the Wall in Austin. Have a good night.
I'm moving down the lonely street, so long for my life. The preparation trickles down, we got nowhere left to hide. We gotta fight for what we need, we gotta fight for the what we give is what we get, but only you could know. Survive. Oh, we will survive. Push it through the death of me. Push it by my side. What I mean, they do not know. They just gotta fight. They gotta fight for what they need. They gotta fight.